Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for the fact of who you are and your great love for us. We thank you as well that as captive to sin as we are, the fact that it is part of our inborn nature and that we are depraved, Lord, all we have to do is believe, and the truth will make us free. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. I do ask your blessing upon our evening and the things we will be looking at, and pray, Lord, that we would be educated and as a result, changed. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're looking at the nature of man since the fall last week. Well, no, the fall wasn't last week. It was before that, but you know what I'm saying. what is the common world view of man's nature? Basically good, absolutely. And what is another, probably not quite so common worldview, but a worldview nonetheless that we looked at last week? Okay, that's the biblical worldview. Okay, we're good. Had one other thing. We looked at two camps. June? Okay, yeah, and actually to the point that we can be God. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, anyway, that was the worldly view of human nature, and we started looking at eight different areas, character, I'm not quite sure how to label them, but eight different characteristics of human nature according to what God says. And we looked at the first one being man is a sinner. He is a sinner. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But let me ask you, just again, to review, to get us up to speed here, why is man a sinner?
He's a sinner.
What's that?
The fall of Adam.
The fall of Adam. Yeah, actually, we sin because we're a sinner.
Right.
That's right. Now that's actually the point I was going to. So anyway, I'm glad you did that. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners, okay? It's an inborn nature. Mankind by nature is no longer innocent. He is a sinner. In fact, David in Psalm 51 said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Man is a sinner. We also noted that man is selfish. Selfishness is actually the essence of sin. We also noted that man is foolish by nature. What in Scripture is foolishness closely related to? Do you remember? Okay, not believing, wickedness. That's right. In fact, as we look at Romans chapter 1 in particular, somebody else just said not believing, Connie, because the fool in his heart has said there is no God, right? But it's related to wickedness in that the rest of that verse says they are corrupt. They have done abominable iniquity. And then Romans chapter 1, speaking of the natural man, says, for since the creation of the world, his, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, mankind, is without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So man by nature is foolishness. And then the fourth one is man is deceived. Who or what is man deceived by? I named three things really quickly last week. But who or what is man deceived by? Satan? Your heart? Yeah. Okay, your heart, your mind, that would be included there. Then other people, right? Okay. Other people. All right. And that was, I wanted to focus in on the heart and mind issue, though, because we can even deceive ourselves. Because by nature, we want what we want. And we justify what we want. All right? Which brings us now to number five. That was where we ended, number four. Number five on my list is, by human nature, man is without understanding. He is without understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Romans 3:11 says of the natural man, "There is none who understands." And I'm fairly sure that I'm not the only one here tonight that can say that before salvation, the Bible made very little sense to me. Okay? Now, a lot of that had to do with the amount of time I spent in it, which was zero, all right? But I was in, so a lot of that lack of understanding was due to just ignorance on my part, ignoring what God has said. In fact, Ephesians 4:18 says, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." They choose oftentimes to not understand. No doubt man is blinded by their own ignorance, and man by nature is without understanding. The last one, no. Well, that's interesting. Five, number six. My numbering changed in my notes. It started over again at one. But it's not one, it's number six. Man by nature is captive to sin. He is captive to it. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. And this is actually you'll see what I'm pointing out here. But it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." And there's kind of two points I want to make from this verse. The first one is, man by nature is captive or a slave to sin. He is a slave to sin. Captive to sin means that in our natural state before salvation, even our good works were tainted by our sinful condition. It means that sin really, it dominated our lives. It controlled our lives. It controlled our eternal destination. The natural man is stuck. He is stuck in sin, captive to it. And the only thing that can penetrate is the truth of God's word. In fact, our passage here says that you obeyed. Okay, well, let's see, where is it? Verse 17. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." What is the form of doctrine he's talking about here? The truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, it says, For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Man is by nature captive to sin, but the truth can set him free. And that is why you and I, we have been commissioned by our Lord and Savior to preach the gospel so that they can hear and believe. And with this, I want to take just a brief detour for a moment and elaborate on this concerning man's captivity to sin, because I've in the past, over the years, have received some good questions on this, and it led me to do kind of an in-depth study and actually put together a brief paper. But I just wanted to give you this in conjunction with man's nature and him being captive to sin. And I've titled it, Even a Depraved Man Can Believe the Truth. Even a depraved man can believe the truth. The question arose, does man really have a free will? Okay, can a man who is a slave and completely captive to sin choose to believe in Christ for salvation from it? Does he even have that capacity? For slaves can't choose to do anything. They are slaves. Well, the difference is between what a slave can do and what a slave can know and believe. The depravity of man is his inability to be righteous or remedy his unrighteousness. That's the depravity of man. Man is born in sin. Man is captive to sin. Man is a slave to sin. He is desperately wicked. Man is by nature a sinner who sins and falls short of the glory of God. But this does not mean that everything that he does is sin. It means that there is none righteous or perfect. He always falls short of God's standard. He can never be perfect because he's captive to a sin nature. However, a depraved man can do righteous things. He can desire to be righteous. He can be just, fair. He can do a good deed. He can even do a selfless act. There are unsaved people who would even dare to die to save others. Man can be heroic. Man can have integrity. Man can tell the truth. But doing righteous things cannot remedy his unrighteousness. He is still captive to sin, and because of his imperfection, he always falls short, and all of his righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is not a just man upon the earth who does good and does not sin. Therefore, the depraved man knows right from wrong, doesn't he? Though tainted, he does have a conscience, and he can discern the truth. For he must know what the truth is in order to suppress it, as Romans chapter 1 says. He has to know what it is to suppress it. He can speak the truth. Even Jesus said of some that were unbelievers, you spoke rightly, you spoke true. And he can believe the truth. And believing truth is the only requirement for salvation. So even a depraved man of his own free will can believe the truth and be saved. And with that, we have to thank God that salvation is by faith and not of works. All right, anyway, that just pertaining to the captivity of sin, because there are a lot of different ideas out there concerning what this captivity to sin means. But I just wanted to give you that in conjunction with the fact that man is by nature captive to sin, but the truth can make him free. Thirdly, not, no, it's seventh, I think. Man is a child of the devil by nature. Not a child of God by nature, a child of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." In John 8:44 it says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." Man by nature is a child of the devil. And then the last one is man by nature is condemned. Man by nature is condemned. Condemned means pronounced guilty and sentenced to punishment. And having seen the first seven items on this list, there should be no doubt about that. John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil." John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And then 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, that is man's natural condition. That is his human nature. That is a far cry from being good, or the other side of the spectrum from being God. But I have to leave you with some good news in the midst of all this bad. Paul asks the question. He asks a question in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And his answer is in the next verse. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57, he says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." John 3:17 again says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Any questions or comments on that before? 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57. Any questions on man's nature before we move on to the next doctrine? All right. The next doctrine that we're going to look at, in fact, for the rest of the evening, we're going to be looking at the doctrine of sin. So we're going from bad to worse here, okay? Because just like there are many incorrect worldviews about human nature, there are incorrect worldviews about sin, what it is. And I'll just begin here by asking you, what are some world views, not biblical world views, but worldly world views of sin? Race? Okay. Okay, so that is a wrong view of sin. Absolutely. Okay. Very good. Roger.
Sin can be manifested in thought, word, and deed.
That is a wrong view. Or is that a right view? Okay. All right. I'm looking for some that's good. I'm looking for some wrong ones, some popular worldly views about sin. Okay, what's sin for you is not sin for me. Okay, it's relative.
Yes, relative.
Okay.
To your culture or to whatever.
Okay. All right. Good, Amanda. Okay, yeah, that's good. It won't affect anybody else what I do. Judy, you had one? Okay, all right, very good. June. Oh, yeah. I hadn't even thought of that, just the change in terminology. It's kind of like going from global warming to climate change, right? Okay. No, that's good. I hadn't thought about that. Just changing the terminology so it don't sound so bad. Others.
My
Gloria.
My niece started going to the church, and the preacher told her that the sins of the old are not applicable to. It's 2014. In plain words, what you're doing really isn't a sin.
Okay.
So he's kind of altering the sin, like adultery is not really sin anymore.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Others. Bobby. Okay. Different degrees of sin. Yep.
I've heard people say that they just make mistakes.
Okay. Right. Just a mistake or even an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. A mistake. There's another one. Sin being called a disease. Okay, all right. What happens in Bob's house stays in Bob's house, right?
No, that's what's
all right, yeah. Other people are guilty, but not me, right? Okay. Anything else? These are good answers. Good answers. A lot of them actually touched on a couple of things that we'll see here in a minute. But sickness, disease, accidental, mistake, bad judgment. All right. Well, let's look at what God has to say about sin. And I'll just be up front with you that sin is actually not easily defined. In fact, there is no one place in Scripture, okay, that gives us a complete definition of sin. It remains for us really to take the whole of God's Word and look at the references that are there, the things that are called sin, and perhaps come up with a little bit of a definition. Okay, there are many scriptures that declare various features of sin, and I want to look at a couple of them. Let's first turn to 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. And we'll just read a couple scriptures and find out what God is calling a sin here. 1 John chapter 3. I had a Bible school teacher that called the Gospel of John low octane, the epistles of John high octane. All right, because they're a little meatier. But anyway, go to 1 John chapter 3. And verse 4 says this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So, what is sin here? What is lawlessness? Okay, that's right. Breaking the law. Breaking laws. It's a transgression of the law. It's anything that is a contradiction to or really a violation of God's law. Let's turn to another one. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Okay, it says in verse 23, the end of the chapter. It says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." So what is the sin here, or what, how is sin defined here? Yeah, it pertained to, that's exactly right. It pertained to meat that is sacrificed to idols. And his argument here is some people saw meat that had been sacrificed to an idol, saw eating that meat as a sin, while others didn't. And he's telling us here, if you doubt, okay, if you it seems a sin to you and you eat it anyway, to you it is a sin. All right? So anything that goes against your what burdens you as a sin, okay? Or even we could even call it a conscience. Whatever goes against your conscience is a sin, according to this passage. Let's look at two more. Since we're at this end of the Bible, let's go to James chapter 4. Verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. It's right after Hebrews. It's right after Hebrews. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So what is a sin here?
Something you know you shouldn't
do. All right, yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's a passage in the Old Testament, I can't remember, I was going to look it up this afternoon and forgot it because it came to mind, but there's a passage that talks about knowing to pray for somebody and not praying, that is a sin. And that would actually fall under this James passage as well. Let's look at one more in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21 should be near the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 4, it says, "A haughty look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked are sin." So what's a sin here? Who has something other than plowing?
Unplowed field.
Unplowed field? Okay. What do you think he's talking about there? Maybe laziness? Okay, I was wondering. I didn't know where, but I was kind of focusing on the first part of that verse anyway. But a haughty look, what is that? Okay, looking down on people and proud, being arrogant, that is a sin. That is a sin. There are actually quite a few words in the Old Testament that are translated, or we would translate them into the word sin. There are also varying shades of meaning and varying words such as bent, twisted, crooked, revolt, habit of evil, apostasy, rebellion, crossing over the line, transgression, vanity, pride, hardness of heart, wandering astray, and even stubbornness. But the word for sin, most commonly used in the Old Testament, literally is defined as missing the mark. That's the best definition. Missing the divine will or goal. It's going beyond what it is, or falling short of what it is, or turning to the side of what it is. And it's really, it's very much like an archery term, or even you might even use it to throw darts. But anyway, if you're shooting an arrow or throwing a dart, sin would be anything short of a perfect bullseye. A perfect bullseye. No. In fact, in the Old Testament, it would have been mostly Hebrew, okay, that it's written in. In the New Testament, there are a bunch. In fact, rather than, I can't answer your question directly if the word sin is the exact same Greek word every time. But there is a whole variety of words in the New Testament that are called sin, like fornication, homosexuality, you know, things like that. In fact, in the New Testament, talking about the Greek, there's wickedness, ungodliness, unrighteousness, covetousness, enmity, disobedience, debt, lawlessness, violation of a precept, failure. Very specific sins. But the word, again, most commonly used, so that kind of tells me there might be a little variety of word used, or words used for that word sin. But again, it points right back to missing the mark. Same definition in both the Greek and the Hebrew. So Scripture is in agreement with itself on what sin is. Now, with these facts as a background, scratch what I just said about fallen men. All right, we're not that far in my notes yet. It's out of your mind, right? We're not talking about fallen men. All right, because what I'm about to say is it's important, and it has nothing to do with fallen men. All right, men, believing men, have tried to formulate a definition for sin. Here are a couple of them, but I'll end with one that seems to encapsulate things the best. None of these are mine. I'm not this smart. But anyway, one person said sin is a transgression of or lack of conformity to the law of God, and we have definitely seen that in the passages we've looked at. Another one is sin is a willful transgression of the law. We've seen that. Another one says sin is selfishness. And we've already learned that selfishness is the essence of sin. And each of these definitions have value. In fact, they're pretty much taken from the differing scriptures that we've looked at. But let me ask you this before I give you the last definition. As we read the scriptures and we see those things that displease God, and even those things that do please God, what is it that determines the difference? Why do some things please God and some things not please God? Okay, and what does holy and perfect have to do with anything? Okay, absolutely. Amanda? Yeah, that's exactly right. Jim?
I was going to say the essence of what how you're thinking, what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah, it goes back to the nature of God. The nature of God is what determines what pleases Him and what displeases Him. Those things that are in line with His nature, like goodness and truth, those things please Him. Those things that are contrary to God's nature displease Him. So here's the definition. Sin is any transgression of or lack of conformity to the holy character of God. Sin is any transgression of or lack of conformity to the holy character of God. It's anything that is contrary to or a violation of who God is. Every command in the Bible is based in who God is. So with that, Now, let's look at some false ideas of fallen man, okay? And I want to look at actually six false ideas concerning sin. And the first one is, sin is a sickness. Right, Derek?
Amen.
All right. Men like to think of sin as something for which man has no responsibility. He caught it like he caught a cold or a flu. He's just a victim of it, and that's all there is to it. Can you think of some areas in which sin is called a sickness? Alcoholism.
Drugs.
Anything else? What's that?
Pedophiles.
Okay, pedophiles, yeah. In fact, there are lots of sexual diseases out there, okay? Disorders of the mind, they call them. Have you heard of CAD? CAD is the Center for Addictive Diseases. And they deal with all of these things that we've just, these poor people, they are sick. They need medicine. They need help. Well, let me just say this about that. While I do believe that many of these things can lead to sicknesses and even disease, liver disease from alcoholism, sin is at the root of it. Okay, sin is not a disease. It is our natural state. It is our natural state. Sin may bring sickness, but it is not a sickness. And people, don't get me wrong, people that are in these categories, in fact, the Center for Addictive Diseases deals with alcoholism, substance abuse, cigarette smoking, gambling, sex addiction, pornography, and even some of the disorders. They call them disorders like anger and rage, okay? But I'm sure there are other things. But and while these things, these people, don't get me wrong, they need help, but it's a spiritual thing. It is not a physical thing. Sin may bring physical byproducts, but it's not a sickness. Another one is sin is an accident or a mistake. Some feel that sin was an unfortunate chance happening, consequently bringing little or no blame upon themselves. Of course, the Bible denies that and holds man responsible for his sin on every count. Another one, and this is one that wasn't mentioned earlier on, but this is a very, very popular belief in the world, and that is sin is non-existent. Sin is non-existent. Well, and it's tied into a couple of things that you did mention. But it has been the purpose of modern psychology to teach that there is no such thing as right and wrong. Many blame all emotional problems on a sense of guilt. If I could just get rid of the guilt, I wouldn't have these emotional problems. Now, let me ask you this. Is guilt good or bad? It's what? That's right. That's right. It's both. There are, for instance, having trusted Christ for salvation, guilt over issues in the past prior to that transaction, that can be a bad guilt. That can be a paralyzing guilt. But guilt is a good thing in that it alerts us to when we have done something wrong, to when we have done something that has violated the nature of God.
Is that something that stems from the conscience?
Absolutely. We talked about the conscience being a remnant of that innocence or that moral likeness that we had with God prior to the fall. Not all guilt is bad. Even in the natural man, his conscience, his inborn sense of right and wrong tells him when sin is involved. Another false area is sin is the absence of righteousness. Sin is the absence of righteousness. Sin happens when righteousness is not present.
What about when you're sleeping?
I don't know about that, but that actually goes hand in hand with what we were talking about last week, about man being basically good, all right? That people do bad things because society affected them, all right? And if society was just righteous, then bad things, evil wouldn't happen. So anyway, they would say that sin is the absence of righteousness. But the scripture we read earlier, it said this, it says, the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So we had the presence of righteousness. It came and appeared in human flesh. All right, so sin is not the absence of righteousness. Number five, sin is funny. That is a worldview. That's exactly where I was going. You can't hardly watch a situation comedy without the brunt of the humor being derived from people who are in blatant sin. And we laugh at it. So what does that do to sin then when we laugh at it? Yeah. Except, in fact, it's even pleasurable. In fact, if you really want a happy life, sin has to be involved. It is totally normal. That's right. Yeah, you know, anyway, I'll just leave it at that. People, the world, view sin as being funny, and this really is Satan's way of blinding the eyes of man to the seriousness of it and the responsibility we have in connection with it. And if that's not enough, sin, number six, is called and legislated as being good. Sin is actually called good, and there are laws passed in our country and in the world that determine that this is a good thing. Can you think of any way that that's happening today? Charlene?
Marriage between two men, two women.
Okay. Homosexuality is a huge one. Jim?
Abortion.
Abortion? Okay. Yeah. That's right. It's a woman's right. You can't mess with my right. In fact, that reminds me of a... sadly, a situation comedy that I watched a long time ago. Two characters having an argument as to whether abortion was right or wrong. All right, and the one woman in the sketch was saying it's right. The guy is saying no, it's wrong. And the guy finally asks, well, what makes you think? What is right about abortion? And she says, the Supreme Court says so. And of course, he looked like the fool, okay? Because after all, the Supreme Court of the country ruled that abortion is okay. It is a right of the woman. Well, the Supreme God says otherwise. Sin is sadly in our world being billed as good. And I want to play a commercial for you. If you'd get that ready, Bobby. I don't have TV at home, so this was new to me when I saw it, but perhaps this is nothing new to you. Maybe you've already seen this. It's a commercial that came out on March 14th of this year. But see if you can catch the false idea about sin in that. And you got the sound on? The top one. Have you seen the commercial before? Honey made crackers, but called wholesome. This is wholesome. Anyway, that's where I'm ending tonight. Any thoughts or questions? Now is the time, Lord willing, we'll begin looking a little bit more at sin, what sin is, next week.